Why is my life so messed up? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever even said it out loud? Honestly, life's pretty good for me right now. I mean, at least it was when I wrote this outline. But things are going pretty good. But there have been times when I've thought, why is my life so messed up? And I think probably most of us in here can claim that there have been times where our lives were messed up. Maybe they were messed up physically. Illness, chronic pain, fatigue, all kinds of things going wrong with the body. Maybe they were messed up financially. Bankruptcy, bounced checks, laid off from the job. Different things that happen that mess up our lives financially. Maybe they were messed up relationally. Struggles in relationship, breakups, betrayals, even divorce. Maybe they've been messed up spiritually. Struggles, stumbles, sins, compulsions, addictions. Maybe they were messed up totally. Every single one of those things going on all at the exact same time. I think all of us at one time or another have had moments when we've wondered, why is my life so messed up? I'd like us to think about that. In fact, I'd like to introduce you to a fellow whose life was messed up. And I'd like for us to consider what was going on in his life at that time, because I think we can see some of the reasons our own lives get messed up. What I want to show you by the time we are done tonight is the temporal causes. There are some things that are temporal causes to why our lives get messed up. But I don't want to just answer those questions. I also want to answer the question, why does God let it happen? The eternal cause, the eternal purpose behind why God lets lives get messed up. And then, what are we to do about it? I want to introduce you to a fella in Psalm 31. This is a psalm by David. And though we don't know exactly, we can't say specifically when it was written, it sure fits the time of Absalom's rebellion. David's life was messed up. In fact, so messed up that his son was leading a rebellion against him, and he was chased out of Jerusalem. Now, ultimately, David does come back and win, but for a period of time, his life was messed up. I'd like for us to consider some things that are said in this psalm to help us understand what goes on in our world today. And see if we can't move forward and learn the eternal lesson of messed up lives. Before we look at Psalm 31, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, you are magnificently awesome. You are the great ruler of heaven and earth. You love us. You love us so much you sent your son to die for us. I know, Father, that you don't want our lives to be messed up. You want our lives to be saved. And yet, at times, our lives are a mess, and we cry out to you for help. And we look at the lives in the world around us, and there's a lot of messed up life in the world around us. Help us to understand why that happens so that we can take the proper message of your glory and grace to the messed up lives, whether they're in this building or outside. Father, help our hearts and minds to be open to what your word has to say about this, so that we can draw closer to you, as we just sang, draw us ever near. We need you, Father. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. It's through your Son Jesus that we pray. Amen. The first thing I want us to understand is that David's life was messed up. Whether I've got the timing on this psalm right or not, the psalm itself demonstrates that David's life was messed up. We're not going to read the whole psalm again. Josh did just a great job a few moments ago. And so if you're just listening to this online, hit the pause, read it yourself. We're going to jump into the psalm right now. In Psalm 31 and verse 9, listen to what he says about his life. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. You know what that means? Be gracious to me, O Lord, my life's messed up. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I've become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances, and those who see me in the street flee from me. I've been forgotten like one who is dead. I've become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. Here's a fellow that's got some serious things going on. There's some spiritual struggles going on. He mentions his iniquity. There's some relational struggles going on. He's got adversaries who are even turning friends against him. He's got problems. His life is messed up. He's got physical things going on. He says that his eye is wasted away. That means he's spending so much time crying, he can't even see. We recognize that he says, my bones are wasted away. My life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. What's David saying? He's saying right now. Now listen, I get it. David had plenty of time where his life wasn't messed up. He was king. And we would think that David, because he is king, everything would be wonderful all the time. But no, he says, my life is messed up. I just want to see that. David's life at this juncture, messed up. Well, what can we learn from this passage about why? Why is David's life messed up? What we're going to see in Psalm 31 is that David was dealing with a kind of a coincidence of several factors happening all at the same time. When our lives are messed up, it's not always all of these things happening all at the same time. But it's fortunate for us as we're reading the psalm to see that happening, because we can pick apart three things that were happening in David's life that were the causes of his messed up life. It's not always all three of these. Sometimes it's just one, maybe it's just two. But these are the things that cause our messed up life. The very first thing we need to recognize, and this is the one I don't want to hear. This is the one I don't like to hear. But sometimes my life is messed up because of my sins. Sometimes my life is messed up because of my sins. David says here in this psalm in verse 10, my strength fails because of my iniquity. David had to be honest. For all that was going wrong and all that Absalom was doing wrong, if this was written during that time, and all that others were doing against him, David had to be honest and admit, I am where I am because I messed up some things. And we just have to come to grips with that. There are plenty of times that our lives are messed up because we made mistakes, because we made wrong choices, and because we have sinned. We need to understand that through Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness. But we learned just a week or two ago, there's always, anybody remember? Oh, Andrew just got... Y'all are all going to remember what he said about the phone ringing this morning, but you don't remember? You don't... there it was. There's always a harvest. There's always a harvest. There are consequences. When we make mistakes and when we sin, there are consequences, even when we are forgiven. And that's exactly what happened in David's life. In fact, here's what David learned when he committed that sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. Here's what God said to him through Nathan. Thus says the Lord, behold, 2 Samuel 12, verse 11 through 12. Behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David, after this, admitted that he sinned. Nathan says, you're forgiven. But this still happens. This is exactly what happens with Absalom. David understood when his life was messed up because Absalom was rebelling. David understood, and he had to be honest, and he had to take a look back, and he says, my life is messed up because I messed up. It's not always because of that, but we need to have some honesty. We need to take a look at our lives and ask, all right, where have I messed up? Because sometimes my life is messed up because I messed up. Sometimes it's me. That's not always that. And as we pointed out, we've got here with David a couple of coinciding things coming together. Sometimes it'll be a coincidence of things, because you see, even though David sinned, what we recognize is that some of this was going on because of other people's sins. Sometimes our lives are messed up because others are sinning. Sometimes things are going wrong for us because others are doing things wrong. Here, specifically, it's adversaries. We notice in Psalm 31 in verse 11, because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors. At the end of verse 13, they scheme together against me as they plot to take my life. It is true that David's life was messed up because of his sin, specifically with Bathsheba and Uriah. But if Absalom hadn't decided to sin, David's life wouldn't be quite this messed up at this point. There's a whole lot of this that is laid at Absalom's feet. But I'll tell you what, there was another time when David's life was messed up, and I don't think we would say it was any bit of David's fault. You remember when King Saul was chasing David around and trying to kill him? Before David became king, he hadn't sinned. He hadn't done anything that we're aware of. He hadn't done anything to Saul. In fact, he was in trouble because he did some right things. He was in trouble with Saul because he had defeated Goliath. He was in trouble with Saul because the people saw David as a great leader. Well, of course they would. God had chosen him to be one. His life was messed up. He was hiding out in caves. He was hiding out in cities that were going to deliver him up. Maybe this psalm was written during those times. But at those times, it wasn't because of his iniquity. It was because of the iniquities of others. We live in a world that has free will. We need to understand that. It's the same free will that we want. We don't want to be robots and automatons. The reality is the only kind of world that could exist where there would never be any suffering, the only kind of world that could exist where lives would never, ever be messed up, is a world where God removed the opportunity for free will choice. We all want the free will that God has given us. Well, this is what comes with that. Because we have free will, some people mess things up. Sometimes my life is messed up because of others' sins. And I also want us to think about one particular other. Here in Psalm 31, David talks about his adversaries. He's got enemies that are opposed to him, enemies that are specifically trying to mess up his life. I want us to think about our adversary. We need to recognize that we do have an adversary. We do have an enemy, and his sole purpose in his existence is to mess up our lives so that we'll turn away from God. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to figure out everything he can do. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, here's what Peter tells us. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We have an adversary. We have an adversary who's trying to take us on, who's going to mess up your life. It's not always because of what you have done. Sometimes, even when we're innocent, our lives get messed up. It's because we have an enemy that is attacking. We need to understand, why does this happen? Why do our lives get messed up? Because of others' sins. But there's a third thing that I want us to recognize here, and I will admit that this is, of these three points, a bit of a stretch. But I think we can see this in verse 21 of Psalm 31. In Psalm 31 and verse 21, David says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city." And no matter what time in David's life we're going to place this psalm, we've got to view this verse as a little bit metaphorical, because there's no recorded place where David was in a city that was besieged. You go to the commentaries and they try to place it at various locations in his life because of this statement. And it doesn't matter which one, it's all got to be taken a little bit metaphorically. And it's because of that metaphor that I'd like to extrapolate an application to us today. David saw himself as besieged. He was in a besieged city. And here's what I want us to understand. We live in a besieged city. And I'm not talking about Lutz, and I'm not talking about Temple Terrace, and I'm not talking about Tampa. I'm talking about the fact that in Genesis chapter 1, God created a world, and he created a good world. Multiple times, he looked at what he created, and he said, it's good. At the very end of it, he looked at all of it, and he said, it is very good. What happened? In Genesis chapter 3, that adversary we were talking about in the last point, he came into the world. And he brought temptation to Eve and to Adam. And he caused them to sin. And when they sinned, the nature of our world changed. It was God's world up to that point, but then Satan became the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, and the world became besieged. We live in a world that is enveloped by sin. And because sin entered the world, death entered the world. Up to that point, nobody died. Animals didn't eat and attack each other. People didn't kill each other. There weren't floods that wiped anyone out. There weren't hurricanes and earthquakes. But sin came into the world, and now death is here. And that's caused all kinds of devastating natural consequences. You know, sometimes it's not because you sinned or someone sinned against you. Sometimes it's not because you sinned or someone just sinned out there and it affected you. Sometimes our lives are messed up because we live in a messed up world. Sometimes our lives are messed up because we live in a besieged city. And so, earthquakes, mudslides, forest fires, hurricanes, disease, famine, poverty. So many of these things that mess up people's lives, these things happen because we live in a besieged city. We live in a world that has been besieged by the enemy. We live in a messed up world. Why do these things happen? Why is my life so messed up? Well, sometimes it's because I messed it up. Sometimes it's because others messed it up. And sometimes it's because we live in a messed up world. And sometimes it's a mixture of those things. Because this is what's going on. This is why our lives get messed up. But I want you to think about this. Those are the temporal causes. Those are the causes specifically that we might be able to look at any particular thing. But that still leaves me with a question. And that question is, surely the God of the universe could protect me from a messed up life. Surely, having forgiven me, having separated me out by the blood of Jesus Christ, surely he could protect me from a messed up life. From all those consequences, from all those things going on. Why doesn't God do something about it? Why does God allow that to happen? He obviously could do something about it. In fact, in Psalm 31, David himself admits as much. In Psalm 31 and verse 15, he says to God, "My times are in your hand." And because of that, he says, "Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." He says, "Here's people that are messing up my life. God, do something about it. My times are in your hand." He's not saying here simply that God knows the day and the hour. He's not saying that God's got his day planner out. He's not even talking about the fact that God is in control of the sun and the moon and the seasons and the weeks and the months. What he's saying is, my times, my seasons of life, my scenarios, my situations, what I'm going through. God, those are in your hand. My good times, my bad times, those are in your hands. Do something about it. And so that leaves me with the question, why does God let this happen? Why does he let messed up lives happen? Well, I think this psalm also gives us an indication. In fact, it's something that David's already said in this psalm. It was the realization that the fact that his times are in God's hand, it led him to a conclusion. And I'll tell you what it is in verse 5. "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." Into your hands. And I understand that this is said before the deal about the times, but that's because David starts off this psalm with an introduction. It's kind of a summary. And then he gets into the problem. But you see, what David had to learn was, in fact, my times are in God's hands. And because God is in control, what I need to learn to do is to commit my spirit to God, the one who is in control. The one who is a blessing. I think there's a wonderful parallel to this passage. It's something that Paul says at the beginning of his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, here's what Paul says about what he endured in Asia. He said, We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Paul says, when we were in Asia, my life was messed up. Things were going awry. It was not what we would have expected. It is not what we would have wanted. That's what he's... I want you to know, we were in affliction. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Paul says, when we were in Asia, I didn't think I was going to make it out alive. It was so messed up. I thought it was over. I thought it was done. But notice this statement. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And this is the key that we have to understand. Why does God allow messed up lives, whether of Christians or non-Christians? Why does he allow that? I'll tell you why. To drive us to our knees. To drive us to the cross. To drive us to God himself. To understand that no matter what I achieve and no matter what I accomplish, no matter what I see is at stake, and no matter what I fear losing, none of it matters in comparison to eternity. And the only way I'm going to have eternity is by God. And everything I think I can do, every achievement I think I can gain, pales in comparison to my need for God. And if I lose my life in the midst of how messed up things get sometimes, that is okay. Because my God raises the dead. My God raises the dead. And that's what I'm relying on. And so David says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why is my life so messed up? Honestly, it's because of the grace of God. It's because of the grace of God. He lets me experience my messes. He lets me experience your messes. He lets me experience the messes of this world because it's those things that turn me resolutely to God. To understand that the only thing, the only one who is going to get me through this is God. And even if this mess kills me, and I die in the middle of this mess, and this mess never, ever gets any better, I serve a God who raises the dead. And so that's where my reliance needs to be. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Where does that leave me? Where does that leave me? There's no doubt in my mind that God wanted this psalm to be ours. There's no doubt in my mind that God had this psalm inspired. Because in those moments when we felt like David, when life was messed up, whether it was because of my sins or other sins or because of this sinful world, he wanted me and you to be able to go back to this psalm and make it our own. But do you know who else made it his own? Do you know who else adopted this psalm? It was somebody whose life was messed up, but through no fault of his own. His life was not messed up because of his sins. His life was messed up because of our sins. His life was messed up because of the sins of the people around him. Jesus Christ himself makes this psalm his own. You want to talk about a messed up life? Come into the world and be the greatest guy who has ever lived. The nicest, most compassionate, most powerful, most wise, greatest teacher. And then have them arrest you and falsely accuse you and beat you and nail you to a cross. That's messed up. That's messed up. And in the middle of this, as Jesus wanted to express what was going on, he found a psalm that he owned. And he said in the middle of this, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What we need to understand is that Jesus didn't just give us the answer to our messed up lives. He didn't just say, "Guys, here's the reasons. Do this, it'll all be okay in the end." What he did was leave heaven and come into this messed up world and went through a messed up life with us. And he got to the cross. And what he believed in that moment, "My Father raises the dead." And you know what happened next? You know what happened right after he said this? "Father, I commit my spirit into your hands." God didn't come down and pull him off the cross and wipe out the enemies and make everything wonderful. Right after he said this, he died. And he was buried. But do you know what happened next? He put his spirit into the hands of the Father who raises the dead. And on the first day of the week, when the ladies went to prepare his body for burial, they found some angels. And this is what those angels said: "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." We serve a God who raises the dead. Why is my life messed up? Why is your life messed up? To lead us to the God who raises the dead. Because he is the only hope. The only hope. There is no other hope. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how long you live. I don't care how strong you get. How healthy you are. There's only one hope to escape this messed up world alive. And that's by serving the God who raises the dead. And Jesus left heaven and faced this messed up life with us and for us. And he is risen. That's where I'm going. How about you? We live in a messed up world. We're going to have messed up lives. But eternity is not going to be messed up if you're with Jesus. You can put your notes away if you'd like. Get out your songbooks if you'd like to follow along there. Otherwise, there will be lyrics up on the screen behind me. I don't know where your life is right now. Maybe you're sitting here today saying, "Why is my life so messed up?" Maybe you've got some messed up things going on, relationally, financially, spiritually, physically. I don't know. Or maybe today everything's going okay. There's always tomorrow. Or maybe for you it was last week. I mean, it happens to all of us at times. I'll tell you why. It's because God is giving you a window for how much you need Him. And He's giving you time. In fact, tonight, that's what I want to encourage you. He's giving you time to come to Him. That doesn't mean that tomorrow everything is going to be peachy. What it means is one day you'll be raised from the dead. Because we serve a God who raises the dead. Do you want to be raised from the dead? Then tonight we invite you to turn to Jesus. He's already walked that path. He'll take you through that path also. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." We'd love for you to turn your life over to Him tonight, to commit your spirit into the hands of God. If we can help you with that this evening, won't you please come right to the front, right as we stand and sing.